lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We've been looking at some information contained in a book written by Dr. Andy Bloom, pastor of Central Baptist Church of Ocala, Florida. We've been looking at some of the things that he's written in his book entitled A Biblical Church Structure. And we've looked at several things here, but let me read something again that Dr. Bloom says. We read this in the beginning of our study. He says, there are many battles across this land being fought in local churches. The enemy, who would destroy us, delights as we destroy ourselves. After conversing with laity, pastors, and deacons, I find much has to do with a total lack of the knowledge of biblical instruction on church structure or government. That's the end of the quote by Dr. Andy Bloom. We've been looking at several things, historical things, the historical background about Anabaptists and how that in the beginning they were looked upon as heretics or whatever. But once again, this is because that there was so much heresy present that day. The heretics were actually calling the Anabaptist heretic. And this is hard for some of us to understand. We weren't there. Some people may have think I'm that old to have been there, but I wasn't there. But I can read history. And I get good information from someone like Dr. Bloom, who has studied this, and we gain knowledge from each other, and especially we look at the Word of God and we take God at His Word, and that's where we get our information from, is from God's Word and from those individuals who base what they teach upon the Word of God. Well, we've been looking at the historic, some of the historical background. And we've looked at some of the things that within Dr. Bloom's book, he quotes Dr. Albert Henry Newman. And Dr. Newman lists some things about the early Baptists, the Anabaptists, they were called. And we've looked about the premillennial return of Christ, the symbolical meaning of the Lord's Supper, the baptism by immersion. And about worldliness, how that we're to be different from the world. In other words, different from saved people, unsaved people, because we are saved. And then we looked at the fact that early Baptists were profoundly convinced that the practice of infant baptism was unscriptural and incompatible. In other words, it conflicted with the maintenance, the upholding of the church of the regenerate, of the saved people. And I left off with this last time in reading Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Let me read that again. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Well, of course, infant baptism does not save an infant. Baptism does not save anyone. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Notice that verse does not say that He washed us from our sins in the water. It says, from our own sins in His own blood. It's Jesus Christ who gave His life for us, who shed His blood, that we could be saved. And notice that Jesus said this about little children. He said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto Me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. It's Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14. Jesus said, bring little children to him, not to the water. In other words, the water, there is no saving power in the water. Notice as we continue on about baptism here, the Anabaptists, they insisted the church be composed of members who were baptized after salvation. Now, being baptized before getting saved is like having the plow in front of the horse. The plow is not going to plow until the horse gets in front and pulls the plow. Likewise, a person getting into water without first trusting Christ as Savior means they are without Christ, who is still waiting on the shore to save their soul. Now, the result of being baptized without first trusting Christ as Savior will not get a person to heaven. It will only produce water wrinkles. Now, until a person repents and admits he or she is a sinner and is sorry for personal sin, the Bible says all of sin, Romans 3:23, until a person asks Christ for forgiveness of sin and is willing to go to heaven God's way by the new birth, that person will not be saved. Any person who has not been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ should not be baptized and welcomed into the fellowship of any Bible-believing, independent, fundamental Baptist church. You must be born again before you're baptized. Acts 2, verse 21 says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, whosoever means anyone. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42, it says, then they that gladly received his word, in other words, they got saved, and then were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them, and that's the local church at Jerusalem, it was added to the local church at Jerusalem, about 3,000 souls. Now, a description of saved people in a local independent fundamental Baptist church is this: and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. In other words, you get saved, then you get baptized, and you get added to the local church. The local church, I believe, and according to the scriptures, that when a person gets baptized in the local church, they become a member of that local church, just as they did back in the church at Jerusalem. The Lord added to the church about 3,000 souls the day that they got saved, and then they got baptized. So they joined the Jerusalem church. Well, notice also that the Anabaptists, the early Baptists, they viewed Christ as the sole head of the church, with each congregation being autonomous. Now, the word autonomous means independent. There was not an ecclesiastical board over them. The pastor led the congregation as an overseer delegated by God. And notice this, it's scriptural. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, and hath put all things under his, that's Christ's, feet, and gave him, that's Christ, to be the head over all things to the church. Now we look at Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And then Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So we see that the Lord has placed within the local church someone that will be the under-shepherd, under the Lord, to guide that local church. And that local church is to be an autonomous church. In other words, they don't have a hierarchy above them. There is no board that tells that local church what to do. That is scriptural. That local church is to be that local church. And that local church makes decisions as to what is to be done within that local church. And we'll see more about that as we continue our study in this subject of church structure. Now, notice that the early church, they were enthusiastically evangelistic. They had a real passion for lost souls. However, their views of separation and baptism made them objects of persecution. And that happens today. Separation. People make fun of someone who says, I'm not going to live like the world. I'm not going to look like the world or act like the world. In other words, of saved people, unsaved people. And the views of separation and baptism made the early church the people, object of persecution. Well, Baptists followed the Lord's command and the example of the church at Jerusalem to spread the word to as many as possible. They were evangelistic. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And let me remind you that they were simply following the scriptures, just as we are to follow. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world. This is Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. In other words, letting them know how to be saved. And when they get saved, it says baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them. This means teaching them after they've been saved, after they've followed Jesus Christ, after they've trusted Him as Lord and Savior. Teaching them, that saved people, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And that's what saved people are to do. Saved people are to preach the word of God, teach the word of God. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, and you may not stand behind the pulpit, but you're a preacher. You foretell, you give out the word of God so that people can come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be doing that if you're a saved person, telling other individuals Jesus saves, that they too can go to heaven just as you're going to go one day because you have trusted Jesus Christ. Well, the early Baptists, Anabaptists, they vehemently opposed popery and Catholicism. This makes some people uneasy when you talk about this. Well, just as the Waldensians were condemned by the Catholics and called heretics, Baptists were labeled the same. Following God and His scriptures, the Word of God, we realized the true heretics were not the Baptists, but the Catholics themselves. We Baptists recognize popery as heretical. When any person, human being, such as the Pope, thinks he has more authority than God or His Word, then that person is not only a heretic, that person is also a blasphemer of the highest order. We need to understand that the Pope is simply a person, and that Pope has no authority over God. And the Pope believes that his authority is above the Word of God, and that places him above God. And that is blasphemy. And we need to stand and take a strong stand and let people know that Jesus is the head, not the Pope. The Pope has authority over his organization. And people need to get things right with God and listen to God in order to be guided the right way. Well, the next characteristic of early Baptists differ from who are called and who are actually fundamental independent Baptists. And I'll stop with this one today. And they did have some embarrassments, the early people did. They were conscientious objectors in many cases. And some believed war as a carnal act. And therefore, in self-defense or in defense of their country, many would passively suffer. Well, God has never meant for us to suffer. He means for us to stand up for the right, stand up for Him. I don't mean to take up arms and kill people purposely. You just go out to kill people. I'm talking about we need to stand up for our Lord, and we need to stand up and take care of our people. And I'll talk more about that the next time. Trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you have trusted Him, tell others that Jesus loves them.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord.
May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.